Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, my favorite part of the week. I hope that's the same for you. You get a chance to learn and grow and get the inside track. Today, the inside track on drugs. Detoxing from drugs, critical insights. Now, if you've never done drugs, what I'm going to tell you today is you have done drugs, even if you haven't done drugs. I'm talking about chemicals, and we can talk about illegal hallucinogenic drugs. We can talk about marijuana. We can talk about lots of things. But everybody's got chemicals in their body that, whether or not they're standard, common term use drugs, or whether they're pharmaceutical drugs, or whether they're just chemicals in your cupcakes, you have done drugs. Now, one of the reasons I'm doing this show today is this week I had to intervene on behalf of a client who accidentally, we'll call this accidentally, consumed abnormally high dosages of a drug named ketamine. Ketamine is a hallucinogen. Ketamine has therapeutic value. Ketamine is used by medical doctors to help people, but ketamine is also abused or taken inadvertently, as it was in this case. And ketamine can have bad short and long-term side effects. So does marijuana. So does LSD. So does Prozac. Every single drug you do, well, we're all told, and we all think, and we all say, at least I hear a lot of people say, oh, I smoked pot for 5 years, 25 years ago. I don't have to think about that. It's out of my body. And it's the same thing for Prozac, and it's the same thing for the rest of the pharmacopoeia. And in a sense, this is true. And when you do drugs, or you have done drugs, you're going to be told those drugs are out of your body. And if you check the literature, you're going to come across a term called half-life. The half-life of a drug. Now, go to picture number 13. I hope you're on the website. If you're new to the show, I am Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc, two T's, is the website. If it's at all possible, get to the website so you can follow this show with the pictures. Or get on later on to the website and listen to the show again, as many, many of my clients do. I want you to go to picture number 13. We'll start it off with picture number 13. The biological half-life or terminal half-life of a drug, a substance. That's what you hear. You hear that the half-life of the drug is such that in 24 hours or 36 hours or 48 hours or 3 hours or 5 hours, it's out of your body. And that's what you do to reference the drug. So if you've done pot, if you've done cocaine, if you've done heroin, if you've done ecstasy, MDMA, if you've done ketamine and been in the K-hole, if you've done Prozac, if you're on Prozac, Xanax, all these different types of drugs, however they might differ in their pharmacokinetics or mechanism of action, you're going to be told if you check the half-life of the drug, it's out of your body. If you go to your medical doctor and you tell your medical doctor, I used to do this drug, could I be hurting myself presently? The doctor will say no. Of course, this is nonsense because the drug she'll say, is out of your body in 2 to 5 hours or 24 or 48 hours. And they get this from looking up the biological half-life. So let's understand this. The biological half-life or terminal half-life of a substance is the time it takes for a substance, a metabolite of a drug itself, a signaling molecule, a radioactive nuclide, or other substance to lose half of its pharmacologic, physiologic, or radiologic activity as per the blah, blah, blah definition. Now, that's the way you think of the drugs you used to do. And, of course, you know, I'm really talking to those of you out there that have entertained some sort of drug use for a period of time. And we'll throw into that bunch pharmaceutical drugs, too. In other words, the standard things that you get in the hospitals. Even if you've been off these things a long time, you're going to be misled into believing that because the biological half-life might be a day or two or three, it's out of your system. This is a terrible misconception. What I mean by that is, although the drug itself is not affecting you the way it did when you were on it, and many of you know that after a couple of days, you're groggy or whatever effect you still feel, you're in withdrawal, and then you don't feel like you're on it anymore. Point being, the metabolites of the drug get stored in the tissues. And the metabolites of the drug getting stored in the tissues are not the concern of this biological half-life. Drugs have effects outside the pure concern about the biological half-life, and those concerns, those side effects, are very much affecting your health for years to come. You know, the classic presentation is the pot smoker. The pot smoker, or the coke addict, or someone that's done ecstasy 100 times, you talk to people that have had those 2-year, 3-year, 4-year, 5-year stints 20, 25 years ago, and they've been super clean since then. They haven't touched so much as a drop of anything, a drop of alcohol. And they'll tell you, but I haven't done it in 20, 25 years. And because of this half-life notion, they're certain the effect is over. This is a gross misconception. The metabolites of those drugs are stored in your body. The metabolites of those drugs are messing up normal nerve transmission. The metabolites of those drugs stay in your body for your entire life unless you do something about it. Now, anybody that really knows how to think outside the box in toxicology, toxicologists, for acute issues, they're the best people. For a chronic toxicological issue, toxicologists, people who study the mechanism of actions, the excretion routes, pharmacokinetics, this, that, the other thing of drugs or toxins in the air, they are absolutely useless, these guys. If you take a little bit of one chemical and a little bit of the other chemical and a little bit of 100 different chemicals and they're all stuffed into your tissues, and we'll get into that in a moment, until the point where you're so saturated with garbage, garbage from PCP, garbage from cocaine, garbage from heroin, garbage from LSD, psilocybin, garbage from marijuana use, garbage from Prozac, Wellbutrin, garbage from whatever you've done, all stuffed into your body and saturating you like a sponge. Crossing critical mass, meaning the amalgam of all the drug-like substances, including the hallucinogens that you've done, stored in your tissue, saturating you, and you're 60 years old, and you're feeling like a broken-down jalopy as a result, you can't think straight. And you go to a toxicologist, he's going to tell you you're fine. Because they only study acute issues. They only study a single substance at a time, whereupon the concentration of that substance, because of an overdose of such, goes past a certain level, and you are clearly about to die, or you're suffering, you're in seizures. So after ER, these guys can be pretty useful because they understand that, but they don't understand the long-term effects of multiple sources of chemicals that can harm the body. And so we have this second track. I think it's the more educated track that understands that when you've done marijuana 5 straight years at heavy dosages, and it's 30 years later, this stuff is still affecting you. Now, let's get more specific about these notions. And again, I can't cover all the drugs, but I did do a nice little summary. If you go to the top, click to view full article on types of drugs. So go to the top of the site and just click on that link, types of drugs, the top 10 drugs and their effects. And as you scroll down, we go through heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine and crack and LSD and ecstasy and opium. I'm going to add ketamine to that. Marijuana. I'm scrolling down. Psilocybin. PCP. And ketamine is an analog in a sense of PCP. That's the type of drugs I'm talking about, but I want you to add the antidepressants, the anti-seizure meds. I want you to add the anti-anxieties. I want you to add the depressants, Valium, the benzodiazepines. So you get my concept here. And all of us on some level can relate to this. Okay. Now, first concept. When that drug goes into you, orally, you swallow it. Sublingually, you put it under your tongue. Intramuscularly, you inject it into your muscles. Intravenously, you inject it into your venous system. Right? You don't inject drugs or anything into your arterial system, right? That's a mistake. But you strap that around your elbow, pop out those veins, make sure there's no bubbles in the syringe, and just slowly push that drug into your venous system. That's an intravenous, right? In hospitals, they do IV drugs all the time, right? IV antibiotics, intravenous antibiotics. Okay, we put drugs through the venous system. Then there's drugs that can go in rectally through your rectum. And I'm going to have to remember to make sure I discuss this today. A lot of people don't realize you can get drugs into your body, into your bloodstream, in the purest state, rectally, a lot better than you can orally. This is something to remember, because when you want to do the health food stuff that gets destroyed, if you want to do a probiot and you swallow it, most of it's destroyed in the gut unless it's encapsulated. But really, one of the great ways to get in is rectally. We don't like that because it's gooey, right? That's sticky. But honestly, you can get it in there much better. Drug addicts know this. Lots of drugs, lots of street drugs are done rectally, and you get a bigger high out of it for less. So we're going to keep that large intestine in mind, because detoxing from drugs, because that's what the show is about, there's important information you have to understand going on in that intestine. So you've got a bunch of ways to get drugs into the body. You can also snort the drugs. Ketamine you can inject. Ketamine you can snort. Those are the two best ways. Ketamine, which this individual actually did, this individual was going to do ecstasy, MDMA, and was accidentally slipped ketamine, and did the ketamine in very large dosages. He almost bit off the appendage of the person he was doing it with. And they thought they were going to do ecstasy together. Ecstasy's done all the time. Shouldn't be. But nonetheless, people do it. MDMA, it's a party thing with young people. And unfortunately, this couple was dealt the wrong drug and did the ketamine instead when they didn't know it. If these two hadn't been so stable-minded in the first place, in a sense, forget it. It could have been curtains. Ketamine is a dissociative drug, meaning you don't know where you are. You can cut your hand off and not know it. Ketamine is a more mild form of angel dust. I was around a lot of things growing up in New York City as a kid, and one of the things I made sure I stayed away with from was angel dust, PCP. PCP is the kind of drug that we never should have invented. You can make your little jokes about marijuana and LSD and psilocybin and all these different drugs, and really, when you talk about PCP dust, it's